every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Oh, this is so interesting. The name on my screen, Dr. Paul Williams. He's Associate Professor of Politics Journalism at Griffith University. Why is that particularly important today? Have a listen to this. This is the Courier Mail. Griffith's CBD campus at the Treasury Casino is expected to be formally announced, with Lord Mayor Adrian Schrinner expressing his excitement about the historic site's future plans. The major university confirmed its interest in turning the Treasury Casino into a new campus. It's understood the campus would host 7,000 students, 400 staff after its anticipated opening in 2027. Mr. Schrinner said the casino is a historic part of Brisbane. We all know that city's most recognisable landmarks, etc. So there you go. It looks like it's going to become a university campus. Star Entertainment put the casino up for sale in October last year, declined to comment on whether a partnership had been finalised with Griffith University. They've already got campuses all over the place in the southeast, and this could be another one. It's number six, its sixth campus, possibly. The university declined to comment. Dr. Paul Williams is on the line. Paul, are you going to decline to comment?
I'm going to decline to comment, John. That's above my pay grade.
But it's an interesting development anyway. I think it's given us all a hint, and I think quite a few people will be happy. Some will be sad because it's not going to be a casino anymore.
Now, I can say it's a you know, Griffith is a popular university. We're growing in student numbers, and you know, it's natural that we'd expand. We're a huge university.
I'll take that as a yes. Let's go to this development up in the Territory, discussing the law and order issue as usual here in North Queensland. It's such a nightmare. But I'll take this from The Australian a couple of days ago. Leah Finocchiaro, I think it is, or Finocchiaro, the first political leader to topple a Labor government in 6 years, marshalled crime-fighting resources immediately to deal with the top end's law and order crisis, as she predicted her party's victory could be a template for Conservative oppositions across the nation. The gravity of the crisis in Alice Springs that helped end 8 years of Labor rule in the Territory was evident after polls closed Saturday. Police were called to deal with what one described as one of the worst nights of carnage. Roaming vandals damaged more than 60 cars, smashed hundreds of windows, attacked at least 8 businesses in the small central Australian town. This lady, this Leah Finocchiaro, has got a hell of a challenge ahead of her, Paul.
She does indeed, and but she also has a mandate to act swiftly. And you're quite right, John, that law and order is an issue right across Australia. It's affecting every state and territory. I was reading a report recently about it's a problem in Tasmania, quiet Tasmania. So you know that's going to be featured at their next state election. Law and order is a problem in Tasmania. So every state and territory is plagued by the issues facing Queensland and the NT, particularly in its regions. So yes, in that sense, the CLP's campaign on law and order, it seemed that law and order seemed to even try to get ahead of the cost of living. I think it's fair to say that in the Northern Territory election, crime emerges a bigger issue than even cost of living. Mm. And so that template that the CLP used may well be adapted, as you say, by other non-Labor parties across the states and territories. Certainly we've seen it adopted by the Chris Affildi opposition, although it seems that the LNP opposition has focused primarily on cost of living. But we may now see, but certainly with crime a very close second, we may now see the LNP in Queensland just talk about law and order only on the back of the CLP's victory. Because again, there's something like a 12% swing and after preferences in the NT, but the CLP got swings of about 18% to them in primary vote, which means that it wasn't just a rejection of Labor, it's a loving embrace of the CLP brand. So, which is what the LNP wants in Queensland. So David Christopher, I don't think, is quite there yet. There's obviously big primary swings to them, but what David Christopher needs and wants is not just people voting for him because they think the Palaszczuk-Miles government has become a dud. He wants them to lovingly embrace him too, or else he'll end up a one-termer like Campbell Newman.
Let me ask you about a parallel situation up here, as you would know the figures for crime in Townsville in Cairns, North Queensland generally, just staggering compared with the other parts of the state, let alone the other parts of the country. Let me ask you this, is it going to be a situation where the crime, like it has been in Darwin, has been in the Territory, Alice Springs, etc., could it be such an overwhelming issue up here that it would actually dominate the cost of living and see a similar blow away of Labor up here? Because we, as you know, look at the seat of Cairns, for example, except for one term, it's been Labor in its whole history. You've had Curtis Pitt out there in Mulgrave. He's been around for, well, I think half a dozen terms, if I remember rightly, quite a few anyway. It's going to be very, very hard for Chris Afulli to knock off Labor up here. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I think, John, everything from north of the out of suburbs of Brisbane, the far flung outer suburbs of Brisbane. So, you know, round about Caboolture, I think, is where the Labor vote's going to end. From Caboolture to the Cape, except for places like Maribyrnong and Gladstone, they're the only two seats I can see, maybe a third. But running from, you know, south of Nambour all the way to the Cape is vulnerable to an LNP attack. I personally think all three council seats are gone. And it's looking bad for Cairns. And as I said, it's you know, if you'd asked me this 12 months ago, I would have said Cairns will hold on because Cairns is a Labor town.
Yes.
But and we did see it fall during the when Bligh was on the nose and Campbell came in. But I think, but Cairns is now, what, about 6%? It's not a very big margin. And I think it's more fragile than even that because of things like, you know, these short-term factors of crime. And of course, regional Queensland does seem to suffer the brunt of cost of living pressures than the capital cities. And that's the same everywhere across Australia because the transport cost tends to drive up goods and services more than the capital cities. So I'm very pessimistic for Labor that I don't think Labor's going to get much north of Brisbane. And even as we saw in the Brisbane City Council elections, we've got a Liberal National Party mayor and government that's held office for 20 years in Brisbane, and it's not been a flawless 20 years. You know, they've had problems, and after 20 years incumbency, its primary vote actually went up. And the Labor vote, which hasn't been in government in Brisbane for 20 years at local government level, its primary vote went down by 4.5%, which tells me the LNP brand is holding up. And the Labor brand, even in Brisbane, its heartland, is on the nose. Look at those big swings in Ipswich West and Inala. Now, that's a problem for Labor because that means the swing just won't be in the regions. It will also be in Brisbane. Now, we're not going to see a Campbell Newman-style wipeout, but we are going to see some what I call the middle class. Not overly leafy, but certainly not struggling. In the middle suburbs of Brisbane, not the inner suburbs or the far-flung suburbs, but the middle suburbs of Brisbane will fall. So seats like Mansfield and Aspley and Redlands. And that's going to bring Labor's seat total down below 30, which means coming back to power in 2028 is going to be all that much the harder.
Let me ask you this one briefly. This sort of sets a precedent, I guess. Premier Stephen Miles has fallen short of endorsing outgoing Speaker Curtis Pitt's pick to replace him in Mulgrave. Tensions rising within the Labor Party ahead of the election. When asked whether he would support the TV star's candidacy on Wednesday, Mr. Miles said he would await the ALP's pre-selection results with multiple contenders believed to be in the mix. Is that a bit of a snub, or is this normal practice just to ignore the pick of the outgoing member and not support that outgoing member's pick to replace him? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I only heard this report secondhand, John. I would have loved to have been there to see read the body language in the room type of thing. But so I can only give you a guess. It could be even a question of once people leave, they sing their last song, they get off the stage, that would engage themselves. Wanting to remain up above the affray. What I will say is that Mulgrave is going to be one to watch. It wouldn't normally be, as you know, because it's on a 12% margin. But I think, again, given the circumstances we're in, cost of living crime, and the end of the Pitt dynasty, in the same way we saw the end of the Palaszczuk dynasty, so Pitts have represented that seat since the 90s, there'll be a big loss of personal vote. It used to be held by One Nation, so the One Nation vote might be high. It all depends if the Katter Party fields a candidate, which they have done in the past. But that is the seat to watch. It's 12%, but it's much more fragile, and nobody should be surprised if Labor loses that seat too in the general election. So that's a really interesting seat to watch.
Interesting, because I vaguely remember many years ago, One Nation holding Mulgrave. Do you remember
that? That's right. They won it in 1998, and it was held by Charles Rappold. But unfortunately, he had some personal issues, and he had to resign after 6 months. He was not well. And then Labor won it back, and of course that gave Peter Beattie his majority.
Yes.
So that was it can be a volatile area electorally.
Just quickly before you go, too, this is Courier Mail today. The CFMEU would have backed Shannon Fentiman as Queensland's Premier, but has been seen getting into bed with the Greens after denouncing Labor at a major union rally in Brisbane. What are your thoughts there?
Yes, I think that will... Look, that could split the Greens base because the Greens are... they're made... Often a lot of Greens... there is a light green and a dark green constituency. So I'm not sure that the Greens are on a winner by doing this. You know, the word trade union is already a bit of a dirty word. It has been for decades, hasn't
yes.
it? Since the 1970s. A bit of a dirty word in Australian politics.
Yep.
Since we've had voluntary unionism in the 1990s or thereafter, people have dropped out of joining unions. Only about 8% of private sector unions in Queensland are unionised. About 40% of state public servants are unionised. Mm. So there's not a lot of love in the community for unions, and particularly not for the more vocal ones like the CFMEU. Mm. And so I'm not sure it's a vote winner, if that's what the Greens are thinking, that this is a bit of a left populist stance. I'm not sure it's going to be a vote winner. And what it might do, because we've got to remember that the Green voters, particularly in Brisbane, are often very well-heeled people on high incomes.
Yes.
And they're precisely the sort of people that vote for Teals, you see. You know, they believe they're Teal voters, and not that we have Teal candidates in Queensland yet, we might see them. But Teal members are Greens, but they like the lower income taxes and they don't like the trade unions. So, look, I'm not sure it's good PR for the Greens to be cozying up to a union that even the Albo government has condemned.
Excellent update, as always. Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
Isn't he got a remarkable memory? That's Dr. Paul Williams, Associate Professor in Politics and Journalism at Griffith University.